It's a joy to have Sam and Molly with us. As somebody was talking earlier, we've known each other for almost 11 years. This November will mark 11 years since we first went to Kerala to teach in the Bible college there. And we have become friends since that time. And it's a joy to be able to stay in contact with them. And when we've had opportunity to have them come and speak in the churches that I've been a part of, and it's a joy to have them with us. It's a joy to have Molly with us this time. Last time Sam came to Montana, it was too cold, and Molly stayed in Texas, and Sam came up by himself. It was April a couple years ago, so there was still snow on the ground when we went into Glacier National Park, and Sam was all bundled up like an Eskimo to keep him warm. And so it's good to have Molly with us this time. And he's coming to speak to us this morning. So come, Brother Sam, and open up the Word of God for us.
Thank you. Thank you. I greatly appreciate the invitation to speak in this church. We are very grateful to Pastor Arnsberger for his kindness. They are keeping us in 6-star hotel. a Christian friendship is something very special, very special. When I came to the Lord, I thought I lost all my relations. We were not free even to enter into our relatives' houses, but God has given us our relatives, our friends all over the world. You know, it's a wonderful thing. We greatly appreciate Pastor Arnsberger's ministry in our Bible college, and also we thank God that he was able to bring his wife. We had a wonderful time. Only problem was that we could not give a soft mattress. That was a problem. But, you know, in spite of all this problem, they endured and they came back again and again to minister to our student and our staff. And, you know, I have started writing some books, and Pastor Arnsberger is one of the proofreaders of my books. So I greatly appreciate all the hard work which he does for us. My name is Sam. My wife is Molly. And my wife speaks Malayalam language, and I speak Bengali language. So we had a problem after we got married. Figured out that maybe the English could be a medium of communication between her and we. In India, every state has its own language, you know. So if you cross from Kansas to Nebraska, is it neighboring? Maybe another language, you know. So all those problems are there. But we thank God that God has brought us together to serve the Lord in India. I understand that my English will be baby English, and my accent will be different. But if you pay attention, probably you will be able to understand what I mean. And I never had a chance to go to any English medium school. We learned everything in vernacular language, and I picked up English here and there, and by God's grace, we are able to manage. Today, I want to talk to you about gospel of God, gospel. And I know that, you know, everybody knows gospel. Gospel is something brings people, sinner, to Christ, and he gets saved, gets eternal life, and we think that that's the entirety of gospel. But I want to submit to you that gospel is far bigger than getting saved. It is bigger than that. And that the idea of the gospel is fully developed in Book of Romans. Now, when we open the Book of Romans, Paul begins with that word, gospel of God. He is going to tell gospel. And perhaps you would agree with me that Romans, Book of Romans, is probably the most doctrinally important books in the New Testament. And in this book is doctrinally important, it's a doctrinal book, but also it is a great book for evangelistic purpose, for mission. Paul begins book by saying that he is an apostle separated unto the gospel of God, chapter 1, verse 1, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was made the seed of David according to the flesh. And verse 4, chapter 1, verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. If we want to be a missionary or evangelist or a preacher, or if a church want to be a missionary church, missionary sending church, then we all have to really understand what gospel means. The gospel has such a deep theology, and it just excites me. Now, I came from a Hindu background, and so I look at the Bible and I see it is so different, so deep, so uplifting, and it just excites me. So I want to transfer my excitement to you, the gospel of God. In chapter 1, verse 10 to 11, Paul says that he is desirous to visit Rome. Again, chapter 1, verse 15, he says he is ready to preach the gospel in Rome also. In chapter 15, he says, look, when I go to Spain, I will come by you. That's what Paul says. That means he will come to Rome, and from Rome he is going to go to Spain. The theme of the book, some commentator will say justification, but I think it is the gospel of God is probably the theme. But these are all interconnected, justification and gospel of God, you know, almost identical or similar in concept. For me, the gospel of God is the theme. And Paul begins with that phrase, gospel of God. We want to see three things from these four verses. Romans chapter 1, 1 to 4. Three things. First of all, the definition of the gospel. Secondly, we want to see the power of the gospel. And thirdly, we want to see the propagation of the gospel. These three items we are going to develop in this morning. First, the definition. He says, gospel was prophesied, verse 2, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. So gospel is something that it was spoken before. And you know, the Bible-believing people know that the first gospel was in the book of Genesis, when the promise was given that the seed of man will, women will crush the head of serpent. You remember that? That was the first gospel, that somebody would come, seed of women, and he would defeat Satan, crush the head of serpent, okay, symbolically. So that's the first gospel, and then later on, the gospel was again and again shown symbolically through the story of Exodus. The lamb was killed, And then we come to the book of law and the sacrificial system. These are all the symbolic way God was teaching to his people that that something later on will come and atone for our sin. Gospel is more than salvation. The central theme of the gospel is about the Son of God. This is, he is the gospel. Okay. Rest of all things surrounds him. He said, this is the, Paul says that the gospel and is concerning his Son. Look at verse 3. His Son, Jesus Christ, who was made the seed of David according to the flesh. So gospel is about the God's Son, and it talks about his humanity. He is the seed of David. You know, this is very interesting. He is the seed of David. That means he came, he was born in the family or in the generation of David. So his humanity is emphasized. But he is the Son of God. You see, again he said, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was made the seed of David according to the flesh. And then he said another designation of Jesus. He said he is a Son of God with power. He is declared to be the Son of God. He is the Son of David and he is Son of God. He is human, but he is also divine. So the two nature, the deity and humanity, is joined together. This is something, this very special thing that we learn about Jesus Christ. He is human, also he is God. Yeah, both the things are joined together. For our redemption, we need both deity and humanity. I struggled about it. I struggled why Jesus had to become a man, then he had to die. Because in Hinduism also there are story of, you know, God becoming man or something like that. Why is it necessary for God to become a man? And then not only he became a man, but he retained his divinity and he added humanity. And that's why he is the Son of God and also Son of David. The humanity and deity joined together. This is some mystery that we can never unlock, how it can happen. Why did it become so? And that is also an important thing. Why did he have to retain his divinity and add humanity in himself? It is an amazing thing when we come to Romans chapter 11, and Paul says, oh, the depth of riches, both the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment, his ways past finding out. So wonderful, he's amazing, his wisdom, God's wisdom is reflected in this incarnation of our Lord. Incarnation of our Lord. Our Lord did not become a God just like other Hindu people will meditate and then they will attain divinity. It was not like that. He was not simply a guru. He was not simply a yogi, or he was not simply a revolutionary. He was not simply a holy man. But he was God himself, full deity and full humanity added together. Why? Why is that question? Now we need a sacrifice. God ordained it that man's wages of sin will be death. This is what God ordained. And so we need a redeemer who must die. And that's why Jesus became human. Because he will die as a human being. But also we need a sacrifice which is big enough to include you, to include me, to include the billions of people on this earth. We need a life which is infinitely valuable. There comes the deity. Jesus is God. That's why his, the value of his life is infinite. And anybody and everybody can be saved. He is also human, and he can die for us. What a mystery. What a deep, deep thought about gospel. This is what gospel is. Gospel is about our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing. I get so excited. I get so excited that Jesus, the death of Jesus includes all, even me. Gospel also includes, look at this, we go to this passage again concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was made the seed of David according to the flesh, verse 4, to be declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So one more thing is included. When we say gospel, it includes his deity, it includes his humanity, and includes his death, burial, resurrection. That's what gospel is. So all these things, when joined together, then it becomes the gospel, full meaning of the word gospel. It is the life of Jesus in totality. Okay? That's why we have Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of Luke. Why? Because these books contain the life of Jesus Christ. That's why the whole book is gospel. And so different than in a religion where I grew up. In my religion, old religion, it is the man who tries and tries, then he supposedly attains divinity and he dies and he goes to the grave, never to come back again. But it is Jesus. He was not a man who attained divinity. He is God who added humanity on himself. He is the God-man. He is God-man. And then writer says, he is, God has made a declaration that he is the Son of God. He is truly God. That's what is Son of God? That terminology the Jews understood, that it is an equality with God. If you have Bible, you can look up John chapter 5, verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his father, making himself equal with God. Huh? That's what Son of God means. His divinity. He is God. How do we know that? What is the proof that he is, ultimate proof that he is truly God? Then the writer says, by the resurrection from the dead. When all graves are open, when all graves are closed, only the grave of Jesus Christ is open. He is no more. He is risen. Has God the Father has made an open declaration that he is my son. What is the proof? By the resurrection from the dead. Oh, what a wonderful thing, huh? We believe in a Savior who is alive. We believe in a Savior who is God himself. We believe in a Savior who atoned for our sin. Resurrection, when Paul says resurrection, it includes his death, burial, resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that definition of gospel is given in a brief way, that gospel is about Christ. He died and he was buried. On third day he rose again. This is what the gospel is. The primary work of Jesus Christ is atonement through his death as the perfect sacrifice for mankind. His atoning death is implied when Paul mentioned the resurrection from the dead. The death of Jesus Christ, his resurrection, is the central theme of the gospel. I am gravitated to Christ when I realize that Christ died for me as an atonement. And this is not simply I am reading. This is what I felt, what I understood, what went in the core of my soul, that Jesus died for me, and then he rose again, declaring that he is truly the Son of God, God himself. He has the power and authority over death and hell. This is something that I learned new. And probably those who, many of you are already brought up in a Christian environment, and probably you may not see the way I see. I see a gulf of difference between the religion where I was and what Jesus is. And here Jesus is dying for me, taking my sin, and then he died and he rose again. This is Son of God. This is what gospel is. Gospel is about his incarnation. Gospel is about his life. Gospel is about his death and resurrection. Everything packed in one capsule, so to say. That's the gospel. Now we go to the second aspect of the gospel, the power of the gospel. Look at verse 16 and 17. He said, now let's start with 15, chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone. That's the power of the gospel. What is the power of the gospel? Power of the gospel is, Paul is saying that it is able to save anyone, save from condemnation. The gospel is able to save anybody. Gospel is able to save. Save whom? He said, salvation, it is power of God unto salvation to everyone. I love this word. And this morning, when the memory verse was said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. No? That fits right there. Everyone. He died for everyone. He says, gospel has the power to save anyone. This is not what I have invented. This is what the Bible says. And when Bible says clearly and plainly, we have to accept it. And we do not give a spin to it. It said everyone. That means everyone. Gospel is for all, for God so loved the world, that whosoever means what? Anybody. All can be saved. What is the definition of all? All means all, and that's all. The gospel includes everyone. Gospel is the power of God. It has the transformation power. It gives forgiveness of sin and eternal life. Who can receive this benefit? The gospel, anybody can be saved. But not all are saved. There is a condition to be met. What is that condition? He says, look at this, verse 16. It is very interesting. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone. Everyone, anybody of Indian, 1.4 billion people can be saved. What is the condition? Condition is that believeth. That's the condition. If the condition is met, anybody can be saved. If anybody receives Jesus Christ as his Savior, believes on him, he can be saved. That's what Paul is saying right here. Anybody can be saved. Anyone that believeth. To the Jews first and to the Greeks. We are the Gentiles, we are not Jews, and anybody can be saved. This is what the Bible says. I did not invent it. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who labor and burden, I will give you rest. And in John chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Apostle John wrote again, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter again declared that God is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to the repentance. Isaiah wrote, look unto me, or be saved, all you ends of the earth. I am God, and there is none. He can save anyone. If there is a murderer, can he save murderer? Yes, of course, he can save a murderer. Can he save an immoral person? Yes, there is hope. Anybody. It includes immoral person also. Can he save a leper? Can he save a leper? Because lepers are considered to be the worst kind of sinner. At least in my country. If anybody is leper, he has no place in the society. His life is doomed. And it will be interpreted by them, by those people in my country, that a leper has committed horrendous sin, probably in his previous lives. Can Jesus save a leper? It was 1963. I was about 12 years of age. Then I was brought to a hospital. My father brought me, and I was there for a couple of hours. And then I was called in doctor's chamber, and father was there, and the doctor said, your son has leprosy. That's me. A drama in real life started. A leprosy. Father fell down on the ground. He was beating his forehead. How can there be a leper in our family? So I was taken home. I did not understand all the magnitude of this disease. I was taken home. And I was told, no more school, no more outing, no more playing, only in the house. Only in the house. And then a fence was erected around our house, tall fence, high fence, so that nobody would see my face. To see a leper is also equivalent to committing sin. I stayed there, I don't know how many months, confined in a room like a jail. And my condition started to deteriorate. And I would be laying down on a bed. And at the end of the day, when dad comes home, the first thing he would do, he would just come to my, near my bed. And here I was, by a fence, my bed, and here would he would come and he would pray to God, because over my bed there was a picture of his God. Hindu God was there. He would pray. Every day he did. My condition deteriorated. And then it was decided that I should be sent to the neighboring state in a Christian hospital, a leper colony. I was handed over to a truck driver. Fortunately, the truck driver did not know that I was a leper. He would have never taken me in his truck. And it was a truck to save money. It was a free ride given by the truck driver. I traveled about 10 hours. After that, I reached on the evening in a place. A missionary came and received me and took me to the hospital. There I saw other lepers. Those who do not have fingers, those who do not have nose. Some of them are blind. All the bodies are all crippled by this. It is a horrible sign, and I realized my hopes are gone. My life is gone. Then I would be here forever, never be able to go back to the human society, because leper looks very bad, very deformed, the body becomes full of ulcer. I thought everything is gone. I also thought that God was angry. God was punishing me for something which I have never had any recollection. What did I do? Why was he so cruel to me? So anyway, there was no escape. I stayed in the hospital. Every day we listened to gospel message. This was a hospital run by Baptist Mid-Missions. And every day gospel message. But I thought, well, what's the difference? There's no difference. They have Jesus, we have our God, they have their God. Nothing more than that. But slowly, bit by bit, I started to understand. And one evening I went to the church. There was a special meeting. Another missionary was speaking. And there it just dawned to me. Jesus loves me in spite of my illness, in spite of all my life is gone, but still he loves me. Just touched my heart. Jesus loves me. I never heard that. All people said that I was the greatest sinner. I did not have any right to live in that place. And here I come, and Jesus loves me. Then he died for my sin. Something in my heart, a great commotion. He would forgive my sin. People said that I was a great sinner, but nobody gave me any remedy for sin. Nobody told me how I could atone for my sin. But here I come, that Jesus gave his life to atone for my sin, and he would forgive my sin, whosoever believes in him. And I realized that was my only hope. Only hope. So I expressed my desire to receive Christ. I was saved gloriously. Then my life got changed. In the middle of all this hopelessness, I found joy and happiness. I was baptized. I was still very young. And one day I was walking and I was muttering to myself. I said, Lord, the gospel has such a powerful message. Message of hope. Message of forgiveness of sin, which we do not have in any other religion. It's a message of victory. And I said, Lord, someday, if I ever get cured, I want to be a preacher. I want to be a missionary. I was walking through the jungle and I was talking to myself. The hospital was located in a jungle area. And then 1.5 years later, doctor called me. He said, Sam, this is your certificate. Go home. I was emotionally moved that God would forgive my sin, give me eternal life, and also he would give me back my body. Something very special. So with the certificate, I went home. And I found I had nothing there. Nothing to relate. No paper, no certificate, no nothing of my dress or toy or nothing. Everything is cleaned up. Because Sam was not coming back. He is dead. Dead in leprosy. But there I was. As a living testimony that whoever believes in Jesus will be saved. I was saved, and my body was given back to me, and then I went to school, I went to college, right after that I started to work for the Lord. I am here to tell you, this is not a sad story. This is a story of love of Jesus. A story what God can do with a broken life. He can mend it. He can give a new beginning in anybody's life. That's the story. And then after that, I went to theological school, and I am here to tell you the gospel has the power. If there is anyone here, you are thinking that your life is doomed, you have no hope, you have messed up your life, but there is a message for you today that anybody can be saved. He said, the gospel has the power unto salvation to anyone that believeth. All what you have to do, believe in Jesus Christ. My friend, gospel has the power. Can he save a leper? Of course. I am the living testimony. I have come back here to tell you that mission works. And since there was missionaries and a hospital, I got saved. If there were no missionaries, I would have never known, never enjoyed the forgiveness of sin. So we have seen two things, meaning of the gospel and the power of the gospel. And now we are going to look at something different, the propagation of the gospel. And Paul says chapter 10 of book of Romans, he says, if, verse 9, chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Okay, again, thou shalt be saved. Okay, that's the one. Then he says in verse 11, for the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again and again, he is emphasizing anybody can be saved. Then he says, verse 14, how then shall they call upon him whom they have never believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That is the gospel he started. Then he continues this theme in chapter 10 also. He said, hey, wait, gospel has tremendous power. This is the dynamite in the hand of God. But if there is no preacher, how will the people know gospel? How will the power of the gospel will be reflected in people's heart? There comes the necessity to support mission. I thank God for your church. I thank God for those missionaries, those who labored. All of them are dead now, went to be with the Lord. But I am here to tell you, mission works. Like me, there will be hundreds, thousands, millions all over the world. People are getting saved. Praise God. Paul continues to say, it's verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and the hearing by the word of God. The gospel is not something to pull up somebody from poverty, though it is nice. It is not something to change the society. It is about Jesus Christ. It is about believing on him and getting saved. And Paul leaves a question with us. How can they hear unless somebody goes and tells them? Now in India, we have more than 1,600 languages. And Jesus said, it's a go to the whole world and preach to the all nation. No? He did not say, preach to the all country. He said, all nation. What is the nation? Nation is ethnic group. Go to every ethnic group. Not only missionaries to India, but to every ethnic group. That could be 3,000, 4,000 ethnic groups are there in our country. And all over the world, there are so many ethnic groups. And the message is, we need to touch every ethnic group with the gospel so that they can also believe and be saved. I thank you for sending missionary to our country. The missionary, those who preached me, some of them were from Pennsylvania, one from Grand Rapids area, other from Texas, my doctor was from Texas, all of them, they gave their life to so that the heathen Indians can know of the gospel. And I thank you for sending missionaries all over the world. May God bless you. Gospel has the power. Thank you, Pastor.